Welcome back to another episode of Exiled Strangers. Today we're going to be talking about dealing with conflict within the congregation or within a group of believers. Before we get into that, you got anything to say, nobody? It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. You know, feel like I'm out of touch with the podcast world. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been a little crazy lately. We've been going all over the place. I can't. Yeah. When was the last time we even recorded an episode?
I don't know. It feels like a year ago, to be honest. But
yeah,
you know, here's the cool thing: is again on our trips, what we got to grace Bucky's with our presence.
Oh yeah.
Once again, if you don't know what we're talking about, refer to almost all the previous episodes where we've talked about it.
I think all of them but the first one in the testimonies, maybe.
Yeah. And also, we did get to stop by Smoky Mountain Knife Works a couple times.
Yep. Again, refer to most episodes on that one as well. Yeah. But unlike, you know, Blade Show, we were happy with our purchases at Smoky Mountain Knife Works. That is a cool store.
Bro, okay. You know what? I'm ecstatic about mine. For no other reason than I got more than what I paid for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It almost made up for the stroop.
No, but, no, it didn't, but that is so positive of you to say that. as I'm literally looking at that knife right now and I'm like, you're doing so good sitting on the table, holding stuff down, you know, and that's about all
holding
you're good
paper
at.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, those stroops, they're garbage. They're not good.
They could do better. They could do better.
Okay, no. The difference between a knife and something that looks like a knife is the heat treat.
Yeah.
And they screwed that up. So they're not selling knives, they're selling paperweights.
It's just buttery, you know? The heat treat's just buttery. Butter in the sun, so you have softer spots than others, you know? But... but so
microwave butter.
Yeah. I mean, it still looks cool though. I'll give them that. Yeah. But so yeah, I picked up that petrified fish, Altonized fixed blade, right? I've been eyeballing that bad boy. It just looked cool. I don't like skeletonized knives, but this one I wanted, and I'm glad I did. Razor sharp. I'm talking this thing cuts like a maniac. Came with a you know, little lanyard bead, all kinds of stuff, goodies in the package that I didn't even know until we were a couple hours into the drive back home.
Yeah, like it was an insane, like you got an insane amount of, you can buy, like there's multiple $500 knives that you could buy. They don't come with half that stuff that was provided with that petrified fish. I was impressed. I would buy a knife from, like some of those fixed blades I was looking at from petrified fish were pretty doggone cool. I would definitely go to them and buy future knives, and they have like an interesting little pocket clip. It didn't work with the knife that I tried to put it on, but I would be interested to see if it'd work with like maybe one of their own knives to see how well it worked. Did you slap an Alti clip on it?
Yeah, of course. And it's wonderful, honestly. It sits perfect. I like it a lot. I didn't use it today when I was doing all the stuff in the garden and everything. Threw the El Pionero in my pocket from Tops.
There you go.
Which I do.
There you go.
I do love that. And I know I'm saying the name wrong, but I don't care.
Yeah, you know? No, it's your knife. You say it however you want to, man.
Thanks,
it's,
man.
It's your knife.
You know.
Okay. On that note, instead of calling that Spyderco Ronin 2, I'm calling it the Fixed Blade Yohimbo. Because that's what I've been calling it all the way up until I bought it. And that knife has been, like, the bad decisions we made at Blade Show, we made up for almost, at least for my part, at Smoky Mountain Knife Works. I finally got I'm calling it Fixed Blade Yohimbo. And, man, that thing is so cool. I just like looking at it.
It looks
such
amazing.
Such a satisfying.
Yeah.
I know. such a satisfying knife. Like,
it looks like it's going 100 miles an hour.
It is.
Oh, it is. Excuse me.
Look, nothing. It is going 100 miles an hour, man. That thing is such a satisfying knife. Like, it just scratches that itch.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. You're right. We did make up for it. And the next time we go to Blade Show, which I think isn't Atlanta coming up?
Oh, dude, do you want to contest with Atlanta?
I hate Atlanta. Like, but
I'm not gay or intense enough to go to Atlanta.
Yeah. Okay, that's true. All right.
I mean, if you're down, I'll suffer with you. I ain't gonna let you go by yourself.
Someone's gonna
snatch you up.
We're gonna be loaded down with defensive tools. You know, I might even carry some pepper spray. A pink bedazzled pepper spray.
Oh, yeah. You better add some glitter to those knives. You better add some glitter to that beard oil, too.
I'm just dazzling.
You're going to start walking with a sachet.
No, I can't, because the father says that's an abomination, so I can't do that, you know?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, Atlanta is they have awesome food, but gay dudes usually do.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know. Okay, maybe we'll just wait for a different Blade Show. It's just that one has such a wide variety of makers, you know.
That one and then Blade Show West are like it's like I don't even know why they really do compared to the Atlanta one and then compared to Blade Show West. Not really sure why they do the Blade Show Dallas one, because it is like a much smaller and less known event than the other two.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I'm grateful they do, though, because I don't want to go to the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, I ain't going to Blade Show West. It's in Utah, right?
Oh, is it?
I could be completely wrong. I think it's in Utah, though.
Well, if it's in California, half those knives are like, you could buy it, but you can't leave Blade Show with it.
Yeah, I think they have to be kind of careful where they are. I'm looking it up right now. It's in Salt Lake City.
Oh, tight.
I would go to Salt Lake City.
Yeah,
never been.
You just go talk to some Mormons, find out why they all think they're getting their own planet.
They think they're trapped with me, or they think they trapped me. I'm trapping them.
Yeah. Oh, how about you sit down? Let's have a talk. You know.
Yeah. No, let's talk. Yes, let us talk.
Let's open these scriptures up.
So funny story. Like not too long ago, there was some Jehovah's Witness that came and knocked on the door. Where their church is around here, I don't freaking know, but they got to be somewhere around here because they ain't getting too far on them bikes.
Yeah,
In Texas, if they're gonna be riding bikes on the roads in Texas, it better not be too far because it's not gonna be long before they get hit. Insurance is crazy around here. But they knocked on the door and I wasn't home, and then my wife answered the door and they're like, can we talk to you? And my wife was like, actually, can I talk to you?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, apparently they're like, oh, we gotta go.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's you know how to get rid of Jehovah's Witness? Talk back.
You know, that kind of happened here. There was an older guy and like a, you know, maybe 30-year-old or so female that came by, and they wanted to share a verse with me. I was like, oh, tight. Yeah, let's read it. Mm-hmm. And they did. They read me like one verse, something about Paul. And I'm like, hey, man, I was like, that's awesome. That has to do with the resurrection. And I'm trying to talk about the first resurrection in the kingdom. And he's like, well, we just wanted to read this one verse, you know, and and that was it. And it's like, man.
And then you hit the automatic lock button on the house and you're like, surprise.
Yeah. Oh, you have these like metal shutters that come down, slam down on all the windows. Like,
oh, man.
Hey, speaking of that kind of stuff, I would love to have a moat.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
You know what I mean?
That's doable. I want a drawbridge.
That I think our two goals go together, bud.
Okay.
Cool. I think they flow together really good. Yeah. We got to get across this moat.
And why would we have a permanent bridge? We need to draw bridges.
Yeah, 100%. If we're being pursued, we start to lift it up, you know?
With alligators. We need some freshwater alligators.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And some... No, I almost said Komodo dragons. Those things are creepy, dude. Those Komodo dragons.
They're huge, man.
They just bite you and then wait. Can you imagine getting bit by a Komodo dragon and then it walks off and you're like, man, that was weird, but this bite sucks. And then you just slowly start dying over the course of 2 weeks. And this Komodo dragon never really goes too far. You just keep catching glimpses of it. And then like finally you're like paralyzed on the ground and you just see this Komodo dragon slowly walking up to you like, finally, I've been hungry for a minute. Man,
see,
I used to have nightmares about Komodo dragons.
Okay, so what you just described literally has not been a reason that I carry a gun, but now it is.
Yeah.
now that's Komodo going on the list.
Komodo dragons are the reason you carry an extra magazine.
Yeah. Where do those things even reside?
On the opposite side of the planet, I'm pretty sure. I think that it's like they're stuck to some islands in Indonesia.
Tight. Never going there.
They swim, though.
They can't swim. Oh, come on. How far? You know,
I don't know.
That's the question. If one pops up on the coast over here, I'm. That's it,
dude.
Man. I'm going to high ground.
Yeah. I'm going to snow. I'm treating it like a zombie. They don't like cold. I'm going to snow, dude. What's up, Wisconsin?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Enjoy this lake effect, Komodo dragon.
Oh, shoot. So what else happened on this last trip? Not a whole lot, huh?
Not a whole lot.
Everybody, North Carolina still jacked up. Don't let them lie to you.
Straight up, like, it pretty much looks the same. Like, it does not look like... I mean, and another odd thing is, like, I guess it's not odd. It's been, like, 5 months. But all of the disaster relief camps and stuff, those are all gone. They're still straight up, like... What? We went to that WNC Nature Center, right? And, like, the surrounding area around the Nature Center... Like, there's a pool that was filled in with, like, dirt. Like, soil from the flood. There's a whole bridge gone. And there's not even like a whisper of fixing it. But they received $2 billion. I'm curious as to where that $2 billion went. But it ain't been used in cleaning up. There's whole, like I took you down the River Arts District, that one road there. And if you didn't see what it looked like before, then it's not, you're like, okay, yeah, there's some debris and stuff. But like what you don't see is that there used to be buildings in some of those locations.
Right.
It's crazy.
Dude. And so as we're driving through some of these routes, we see like the river kind of drying up because there's a random crazy drought that was going through there.
Yeah.
And there's a pink substance on top of all the sand. You can see it in the little wading pools on the side. I'll give you the periodic table element. It's capital L, lowercase I, for anybody who wants to look that up. And this is what it's like, the salts look like that are in the veins of the earth. It's all over the place, and it is toxic in that quantity. So
Yeah. And then like and I don't mean this in like a disparaging way at all, but as you go up into some of these mountain hollers and stuff, you can tell that some of the people that have been there like for generations at a time, have been like their wells or some of their springs have had access to this element for an extended period of time, just based on like what the side effects of that element are over long, gentle exposure throughout a lifetime.
Yeah.
There's some pretty clear, like, you know, side effects that go on with it. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way at all. It's just like further proof that it definitely exists in those mountains. and it was recently washed up. And also, fun fact, this element we lost access to when we pulled out of Afghanistan, and we've been cut off access from this element with the BRICS nations as well. So I can
100% verify that this was being mined in Afghanistan when I was there.
Yeah.
Funny enough, the rights were sold to Chinese miners.
Wow. Aren't they a part of BRICS?
Yeah. But you know what? At that time, it was just, hey, you know, that's come on crazy. In. Anyways.
And then also, just south of the border, they opened up, was it Milwaukee? And then I want to say BMW. I could be wrong on that. But there's also a bunch of different battery plants that a year before this whole event happened, they all got approved, like a bunch of different battery plants.
Well, would you look at that?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. My camera just went out of focus, too.
Man.
That's usually what happens before a drone strike, right?
Oh, dude. No, my friend. Don't do it.
We should edit in some very cheap explosion.
Yeah, we have to now. It's just me. You're fine. Oh, man. So what else? Not much, dude.
Well, right? Passover. So we had Passover. That was cool.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it was wonderful. Tough goings though, getting into it. I feel like we've heard this testimony now from a lot of people that there was some hurdles put in everybody's way, different types of hurdles leading up to the Passover dinner.
This was my first Passover too, so that was exciting.
Yeah. You know, the cool thing about Passover, it's a memorial between the frontlets of our eyes and on our hand. You know, it's quite interesting. Everybody focuses on the mark of the beast when you have the mark of Yah that's completely achievable according to his instructions. So
had to comb through an entire lamb section at Albertson's to find some lamb that was not rotten. Like straight up rotten. And none of it was even close to the expiration date. Like the one that was closest to the expiration date was like 7 days away from the expiration date, and it was rotten. Like it's also like 45 minutes away from the house. I got all the way home. My wife told me, like, hey, this doesn't smell right. I smelled it. I'm like, you're right. It doesn't smell right. And then I went all the way back, and we're approaching sunset as this is happening. I even call up Nobody and say, hey, man, what's up with that second Passover? What's the criteria on that? And then I find out it's for, touching dead bodies in war?
No, if you're in contact with dead body or away on a journey, a far journey.
Okay. So that didn't apply. But it was, down to that kind of crunch time. So I go all the way out to Albertson's again. It's, 45 minutes away. And then have to, I'd go up to the customer service lady and I say, hey, I don't have my receipt, but I literally just bought this lamb today. She's like, keeps interrupting me, telling me I can't do it. She can't do anything without the receipt. And then I asked for a manager. The manager's like, yeah, go ahead and go back there. And I was like, hey, I also live 45 minutes away. So is it okay if I open the package to make sure, because this was within the expiration date, I just want to make sure it's good before I go all the way back home. We go through every package. All but three packages that they had back there were bad, which was as we're going through this, I'm like, man, what are some other places I could go to?
Yeah, seriously.
That have lamb. It was close. And then finally come away with three leg of lamb steaks. Go back up to the front. Realized that the customer service lady wasn't actually being a jerk. It was a weird, the head manager of the store was the jerk, and she had some weird instructions to follow. So following, when I'm talking to her the first time, I'm getting frustrated, but I'm remembering we're not supposed to kindle fires on Sabbath. And that keeps going through my mind. And had I actually gone off on her, my inclination was at the beginning, I would have been going off on the wrong person. So there's a little learning lesson there.
For sure.
Then, get home, have some serious trouble starting the fire because the wind. And then, yeah, we finally have dinner, and it's just in time, and it was delicious.
Bro. See, that's why, like, when we had talked on the phone, I knew what was up, right? Because I, like,
yeah.
I was like, man, I was like, the enemy does not want us doing this feast, you know?
Yeah.
And yes, are we doing it in remembrance of when Yahweh brought Yasharel out of Egypt, you know? Yeah, we're doing a remembrance, but we're also going to do it anew with our king in the kingdom, you know? It's like every possible thing. So when I, and I, okay, I should have gotten my Blackstone griddle like ready beforehand, but I was like, it's fine. It's been covered. It's like always, always been well taken care of. And I get out there and some mice had just taken a dump all over the top of the griddle. Just like, it's like they knew what was going on and they're like, I don't like this guy. And anyway, so I'm scrubbing it. I get it all like, you know, sanitized and all that. And I'm like, okay, I need to dry this thing off. I'm gonna reseason it, you know. I'm just gonna try to do my best. And then I realize all the propane's out. So I'm like, oh, great. This is great. I'm like hours till sunset. I need to make some darn unleavened bread and cook my lamb too. So I got to get the charcoal going. Anyways, I found a camp stove and a cast iron and made the unleavened bread. But when I go to light the charcoal, it took me 8-9 times to get this bad boy lit. And I am dousing it with fluid. Like I could have blown up my whole county with how much fluid I was putting on this, and it would not stay lit. It was lit, and I'm like pouring the stuff on there, and it just, dude, it was a struggle. The
charcoal could have been wet and it would have lit in normal circumstances.
Like, and this is the charcoal that is supposed to, like, easy light, you know, like this is already primed and ready to go. Anyways, hey, these are the struggles, right? Like, weird things happen that I don't think are coincidences, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But that being said, if we just, like, if we set our face like flint towards following Yah, I mean, and we give a good report, he'll see us through it. And he has.
I don't know why at first when you said Flint, I was thinking Flint, Michigan. That was the first thing that popped into my mind for some reason.
Wait, what were you thinking?
When you said face or turn our face like Flint towards Yah, at first I was thinking like you were using Flint, Michigan as an example. And I was like, what do they have going on there besides the water?
Yeah. You're like, there's nothing positive that we can pull out of that one.
Threw me off for a second.
My bad.
No, you're good. No, that is 100% my bad.
Our bad.
Well, no, you quoted scripture. I'm just going,
I don't
off
know if I did. I just said some stuff, but okay. Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, that's just getting back into the routine has been interesting though. You know, like, yeah, we have like the high Sabbath actually. We're finishing up Passover, or rather the Feast of Unleavened Bread right now. But dude, I don't know what it is. I feel like I have 100-pound weights around my ankles, you know, as far as getting up and getting motivated. And,
it's all that bread, dude. It's all that bread we've been eating.
Well, I'll tell you what, like, I don't know. But I really have to just like look myself in the mirror and be like, suck it up, buttercup, and get out there and do my stuff, you know?
There you go. I've been feeling like there's just not been like enough time in the day lately. Like trying to get everything. Okay. So like this morning we had a discussion talking about whether or not we're going to go do Selmer or Lake City, Arkansas, and not going, I think, like, looking back at it, was a very wise choice, because, like, as I kept getting more stuff done today, the more I realize, like, man, I am behind on everything. And you can't, like, you got to put the mask on yourself first before you can help somebody next to you in a plane and everything. And yeah. Like you summarized it perfectly this morning, and you were like, dude, we don't even have our own food in the ground yet. Literally, like, we haven't even planted or put in our own food in the ground yet. How are we going to help anybody else? Now we just got two people suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's good people that are going out to help them right now that are very, very capable.
Right.
It's not like we were going to be the deciding factor on whether or not these people got help, but
right.
Yeah, looking forward, especially with everything going on in this country and the world, like, who knows what may seem like a simple garden right now may be, you know, nourished people in the near future. You know what I mean? Or
for sure. For sure. And I mean, who's to say? Well, also, like, another thing is, I don't want to be on the opposite side of the Mississippi from my family at these times, really. And who's to say there isn't, like, another disaster that's just right around the corner that we could respond to, whereas other people couldn't because they're occupied with another disaster, especially right. with the doggone flooding going on in Kentucky, and who even knows what else is going on. Dude, it was snowing in Lubbock, Texas, like, earlier this, last week.
Bro, that doesn't make any sense in my brain. I cannot fathom that.
No, like, it makes sense in the right season, but dude, it's April in West Texas.
Yeah. but on flight radar, those planes that say weather modification, they're not really doing that. That must be a front for something else. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's a typo. I'm running cocaine.
Since nobody can see my facial expressions right now, I'm being super sarcastic.
All the treaties these countries have signed were just in case.
The freaking hurricane that just hit the super high mountains,
hundreds of miles off the coast.
Totally Man. Normal, folks. Totally. Normal. Nothing to see here.
It intensified the further from the ocean it got.
Yeah.
And then stayed in one spot.
Yeah. What the heck? Yeah. Hey, that's not a normal storm. Hey, you don't understand science. Like, what? What? Even by their own science, they're wrong.
Yes. Yes.
And
oh man.
I'll drop this again. We are not on a spinning ball, folks.
Nope.
That's all.
Nope. It's not spinning or a ball. Well, it might be spinning. We might just not even be able to comprehend that part. But it's not a ball.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, wherever we are, we're, like, fixed on foundations. But the greater whole of whatever creation looks like, maybe. Maybe it's got a little twist and a little jive to it, you know. But
maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever find out either.
Well, we'll see. When the kingdom comes, I'm sure, like, we're all going to be like, can we please just figure out all these things that we've been lied to about, please?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That, man. Yeah.
It's going to, we're all going to be lined up. Who's got questions? Everybody's hand shoots in the air. You know? Yeah. He's like, all right, take a number. You know,
I got questions for Paul, bro. Why did you word the things that you worded the way you worded them? Could you have spoken simpler? And then, you know, maybe once we meet him, we're like, oh, this was as simple as this dude could get. Maybe that's it. This was the dumbed down version for him.
Yeah, he's just so extremely intelligent.
Oh man.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you what, like, life ain't going to get easier here on the earth, but the greatest thing is as we continue to walk with Yah and his ways, like, I don't know, the pressure is off. You know what I mean? The pressure of this chaotic world, it doesn't seem to rest on our shoulders anymore, you know?
Right. like, we still have personal responsibilities and everything like that. Like, we still are, there's still requirements and everything, but it's like this chaotic world was like foretold. Like,
yeah,
we can kind of expect it to be chaotic, but I have a okay, fun little question. You can't pick Yahusha. What? Okay. Pick one person from the Bible. You can go back and meet right this second.
Oh, wow. That's really hard. Okay. So, like, if you let me walk into my answer here. So, the comical side of me, I would love to go talk to Jehu. Just be like, how did it feel when you talk so much smack to Jezebel? Like, did it feel good?
Was it off the top of the dome, or were you planning this for a while?
Were you like riding into town and like practicing, or but oh man, that's so tough. The other part of me wants to ask Elisha, what's up with the she bears?
That's a big one.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, man. I thought this was going
to
be a...
No, this is not easy at all. I want to talk to everyone. Like,
yeah.
Even the people that aren't mentioned by name, I want to have a chat with them, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I think if I can't talk to our Messiah, I would love to talk to, like, the patriarchs, but I think I would start with Enoch.
I was going to say Enoch.
Great minds, no, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. Yeah, I just want to, like, I just want to hear it from his mouth, everything he saw. If I could go back and visit right now for, like, however long until my questions are answered. So I guess he's going to stay here for quite a while.
I hope you got a minute.
Yeah. You need some unleavened bread? I got some.
Let's do it.
I'm gonna have to re-up on some flour, but yeah, we're good.
I'll tell you what though, that would be a fun conversation. I'd be like, oh, so you mean you were actually walking in the instructions of the Father way back then before Sinai? Okay. Nice.
That's wild. But okay. Today's topic.
Yeah.
Today's topic, dealing with conflict within the group, the congregation, the community, stuff like that. The reason I guess we're talking about this is because when we got back from our trip, literally the day we got back from our trip, I was asked to sit in on one of these Matthew 18 meetings. It was supposed to be a Matthew 18 meeting, but it strayed way off course. Without getting into any details or like exposing anybody or anything like that, this was supposed to be, there was a discussion about whether or not this was step two or step three. My argument is that it was actually step two. Step three would have been dealing with the, you know, the larger community and everything. But it, you know, raised the question of, like, it made me think at least, like, wow, I don't think most people consult with, like, Matthew 18 when dealing with conflict within their community. I think inherently, like, myself included, like, the flesh wants to go and handle all of it incorrectly. So,
sure.
I think it would be a good refresher to actually go over Matthew 18 and the correct steps of dealing with conflict or grievance within the community and how to do it properly and everything. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think so. And, you know, honestly, this is something that I've seen a lot of congregations do right. And I've also seen it done wrong. I can say that even in my past experience, I've done it wrong. You know, and I've learned from it and I've been corrected. So yeah, this is a good lesson for us all to refresh and learn from. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. This honestly was the first time, the day I got back was actually the first time I was a part of a group that was intentionally doing it this route.
Yeah.
So yeah, Do you want to read, or if you want to read and pull it up on the screen, that'd be awesome. If you don't mind,
let me get this bad starts boy in
15. Here. Matthew 18:15.
All yep, right.
Yeah, and remember, guys, if you're curious about the app that nobody's using, it's eSword. You can see it at the very, very top of that screen right there. eSword. It's an awesome app. It allows you to compare different scriptures right next to each other.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, and a bunch of other stuff.
Bunch. Like, overwhelmingly so.
Oh, yeah. I love it. All right, Matthew 18, starting at verse 15. It says, "And if your brother sins against you, go and convict him," or reprove him, "between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." Praise ya. "But if he does not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word might be established. And if he refuses to hear them, say it to the assembly. And if he refuses even to hear the assembly, let him be to you like the nations and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be having been bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth shall be having been loosened in heaven." Okay, we're going to get it into a different teaching if we, you know what I mean? If we keep going.
Yeah.
So looking at these verses, right? Like, you have steps. If your brother sins against you, okay, you go to him personally and reprove him. It doesn't mean you need to be mean either, but you'd be like, "Hey, man, like, you know, there was only one ice cream bar left in the fridge and you took it and you knew I wanted it." I'm giving a silly silly example, but
silly dude. That's
not
fighting
between us. Yeah.
But split, like, it in half, man.
Be like, "Hey, man, that was my pint of ice cream in the freezer, and you ate it all, and then, you know, you didn't even look sorry about it."
Hit him with the glove.
Yeah, it's dual time. So if I come and I say that, and he hears me, he's like, "You know what? You're right. That was wrong. Let me replace it. However, right? Let me make this amends. I hear you, right? There's a correction then that happens. Wonderful. You've gained your brother." Right. If he doesn't hear you, take with you one or two more, so you have two or three collectively, and approach it again. Give the same reproof. Still, you with patience and kindness. You're not berating. You're not tearing anybody down. But the goal is to gain your brother back. It's not to send them away sad. You know what I mean? And clearly, he's saying right here, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word might be established. Well, that's Torah, right? That's good Torah. Here in the book of Matthew, you know, everywhere the Messiah and apostles are doing Torah, which we'll head to that in a second. So if he doesn't hear you in that little small two or three group, then you bring it to the assembly, right? And if he refuses to hear the assembly, let him be to you like the nations and a tax collector. So don't treat him as part of Yasharel pretty much. Let him be like the nations is literally anybody that's not Yasharel. Like, that's basically out of covenant. This is not behavior Yah is pleased with.
But not just of the nations, but a tax collector too.
You look a heathen. You know what I mean?
Dang.
Yeah. Anyways, it's
okay. So starting with, like, oh, my bad. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just gonna say, look, of the nature of pagans, right?
Yeah.
It's not good. But anyways, that was it.
In 15, like, just looking at, you know, past experiences and everything, like, whenever you bring up a grievance to somebody. And, like, if they have, you know, killed enough of their ego to say, like, "Oh, yeah, you're right, man. I'm sorry. I was wrong in that." They gain, like, so much respect from that, or like you gain a bunch of respect of them, or hold on, they gain respect from you. Hold on, dude, I'm losing my mind. If you approach somebody and you say, if you approach somebody and you say, hey, I had a problem with the way you did this, and they say, my bad, dude, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way, or I didn't mean for you to take it that way, or anything like that, you gain a ton of respect for that person. More respect sometimes than what you had before the grievance ever even happened.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it, because it shows good, sound character, and like a, you know, it's...
Right. Yeah.
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 And
that's,
you know...
That's what I've always thought.
And just so anybody, so there's no, you know, confusion out there, we don't have an issue about a pint of ice cream, because we plan our ice cream trips together, and we each get it, you know? Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely.
It's a thing, actually. We probably shouldn't eat that much ice cream, but...
Well, yeah, actually, today was supposed to be the start of, like, the ice cream fast. I don't know if you started, but I did.
Yeah, I didn't have any today.
Yeah, I didn't have any either. And you might be thinking, like, the audience might be thinking, like, man, you went one day without ice cream. That's not really that big of a deal. Yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
It is a big deal. And it's neither enjoyable. One of us are, like, we're both under 200 pounds.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's not like we're huge or anything like that. Like, we're active. We, you know, we burn it off, but we've been getting a little pudgy lately. So...
Yeah.
gotta get back down to my fighting weight.
Yeah, these hard bodies have gone soft. know? Ain't getting
Got
any
a
younger.
Cushion.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. What'd you say? You're getting to the age where this is gonna get hard to get off.
I said I'm getting to the age where this is not gonna come off. You know, like this is every pint of ice cream man. Is a permanent fixture on my body. So
man.
Yeah, anyways, yeah. You know, but this is, hey, we're two brothers, right? And we're always in communication. We're not surfeiting. You know what I mean? We're keeping each other in check. So
what is surfeiting? All right, like, college kid, what kind of word is that?
Whoa. Hey. I don't have any degrees.
Still took more hours than I did, dude. I dropped out halfway through my first semester.
Dang. That's what's up.
Yeah.
You were smarter than me. But surfeiting, it's like when you're like being gluttonous, or like, you know what I mean? Like eating. Yeah, eating like what's that? Oh gosh, what's that one girl from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? It just
Dude,
popped
you
into my
already
mind.
No, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's the one that turned into a blueberry. But
oh, is her name Violet?
That would make sense, actually. Yep.
Yeah, I think.
Anyways,
I think that's Violet.
I don't know if I don't remember that movie really. I don't know if like she was gluttonous or. If she just liked blueberries, but bad example. All right, moving on. My bad.
No. It was the kid. Okay, gluttonous is the one that he's the kid that was like lapping up the chocolate river like a dog.
Yeah. Hey, that dude better be careful. He's lucky he wasn't around. He's lucky he wasn't around Gideon.
Gideon would have front kicked him into that river.
Yeah, like, get out of here, boy.
Oh, man.
All right. So check this out. Deuteronomy 19. 1915. I don't know why I stopped sharing my screen. Let me pop this back up real quick.
I can hold my phone up to the camera if you want.
Let's see how that goes. So 1915, this is where... You know, two or three witnesses came from in the New Testament. For anybody listening out there who thinks that it was done away with, it was not. Septuagint, there in the center, is what I'll read out of. It says, one witness shall not stand to testify against a man for any iniquity or for any fault or for any sin which he may commit by the mouth of two witnesses or by the mouth of three witnesses shall every word be established. Okay. I mean, enough said, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading further, and if an unjust witness rise up against a man alleging iniquity against him, then shall the two men between whom the controversy is stand before Yahuwah and before the priests and before the judges who may be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquiry, and behold, if an unjust witness has borne an unjust testimony and has stood up against his brother, then shall ye do to him as he wickedly devised to do against his brother, and thou shalt remove the evil from yourselves. Which I think is an important part to include in that. So that way, like, look at how much false testimony is going on in, like, these current days and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so look at, like, how many allegations there are against, like, whether they're true or not regarding that whole Me Too movement and everything. Whether it's true or not, the allegation itself forever tarnishes and gives a scarlet letter to whoever was accused.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
And there's absolutely no repercussion for it. Like, okay, so quite a few of the women that have come out with the Me Too, stuff, quite a few of them have come out to be, like, falsely accusing or just riding the bandwagon of this whole movement. And there's absolutely no negative repercussions for them at all.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, I mean, but look at the state of the world. You know what I mean? It is in par with it. However, it is wrong. You know, like,
right
here, what we see with slandering, you know, slandering in this context is typically something that you're basically saying somebody has transgressed against Yahuwah or even, you know, left off from the covenant practices. You're basically accusing someone in most cases of something like that. And if you're slandering, the repercussion for that is death, you know, like,
yeah,
it's a serious matter. Now, we don't have priests and judges and all that. We can't exact these kind of punishments. And I'm not saying it's in our heart to do that either. But, you know, here's the thing is, like, when we do have priests and judges and our Messiah is reigning, you know, like,
yeah,
you best believe he's going by these.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. But it's still something we can, like, you know, we can still keep in mind. You shouldn't at all just flippantly be accusing people of things that you're not entirely sure of. And I'm talking to myself as well when it comes to that. Mostly myself. Like, I need to be more careful about what I am accusing other people of doing or not doing and stuff like that when I don't fully know the full story or anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm looking at myself too, you know. It's tough because, especially in this community, man, like, this community is like high school. It's a rumor mill, you know what I mean,
dude? Yeah, like, thankfully, whenever I first found, like, the Torah community, I didn't or when I guess the community found me, more like it, because I didn't, like, search this out by any means. Y'all found me.
Y'all. Yeah. We caught another one, folks.
But I should better say that Yah kept putting y'all in my path. That's more like it.
Yeah, Yah was drawing you in. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I kept getting warned of the crazy ones. And it's like, yeah, we're part of the community, but we're not like the crazy ones you've met before. And I'm like, I kept going, like, I don't know what y'all are talking about. I've just met cool people for the most part in this whole community. And then after I got a good like a good interaction with, you know, solid people, real solid people. You know who else I'm talking about and stuff like that. I got in contact with these people. Then I got introduced into the crazies, which has also been like the opposite of my parents. My parents have been introduced with very, very bad examples first, which has also put a very sour taste in their mouth in regards to anybody following Torah. Like, they're almost there. It's just, it's hard to wipe that memory of the prior interactions that they've had with other people. And then they also start listening to like teachers who are very anti, oh crap. How do I even say that without getting thrown into a paddy wagon?
Oh yeah, that's a good point. We'll have a whole department of, or a whole task force after us.
Well, I think I think you get what I'm saying just by what I'm not saying in the, you know, the threats. But they've had very bad interactions, and they've leaned, I think, too far the other way, even though some of the these teachers that they're listening to are like almost there. All they have to do is just keep reading.
Yeah, just a little further. You know?
Just like next verse. Just keep going. Wait till the period and then stop. But
there's something other than Paul, you know, but
yeah. And like, okay, so on that note, like anytime Paul says something that does not make sense to me, which is kind of frequently sometimes, I just refer back to, what is it, Matthew? I always have to look this up again.
2 Peter chapter 3.
Well, there's that, but there's also like the words of our Messiah.
Oh, for sure.
Like it, like I will have to weigh everything up against that. Is it Matthew 5 or Matthew 6?
Matthew 5, and then in 7 he nails out the way he's going to make judgment. But Matthew 5.
Matthew, you know which one I'm talking about. I think it's man, where is it? Matthew 5:17,
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you pulling it up?
I sure will.
Okay. But yeah, anytime I hear something that... Oh, go ahead.
I didn't mean to say that like a blue hair. If I did, my bad.
No, I didn't think that until you brought it up.
Okay.
But well, you're good, man.
Forget everything I just said.
But I mean, like, okay, so anytime somebody says something that doesn't quite make sense to me or seems like it's going against teaching, you know, following Torah and everything, I go back and read 5:17 and continuing on, it says, do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and earth shall pass away, one yod or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. Whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so shall be called least in the reign of heavens, but whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the reign of heavens. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall by no means enter into the reign of heavens. So, like with Paul, I don't think because he was like, you know, a very good student. And I'm pretty sure he knew about those groups of verses right there, or at least that, you know, our Messiah said it at one point. I don't think anything he's saying is trying to teach you to not follow the law.
Right.
Like a lot of what he's saying is checking your heart posture behind the law, and that, the law itself isn't saving you, but you should still obey it.
Yeah. I mean, like, right? So yeah, pretty much. So the big thing with the Pauline letters is like they're letters. So there was a letter first sent to him as a report. And these are all places that he already went evangelized and taught, you know, so he laid a foundation, you know, and he's building on that in the heart posture. Like you said, the hard thing is, you know, people would be like, oh, see, he said all you got to do is love one another. It's like, well, what was he addressing? You know, potentially a congregation that wasn't showing love to each other. You know, they're keeping commandments potentially, but they're not following him because of being provoked through the love they have for the Father and for their neighbor. You know, it's a whole thing, man. Like, it's a bummer though that Paul gets a bad rap with many in the Torah community because of that. There's a lot of like wounds that people haven't had healed up just yet, you know, and they're like, man, like people deny Paul, then deny Messiah, and that's the saddest thing ever. It's like just don't read Paul until you're ready. You know, like I stopped
or
altogether.
Just read him, understanding that, hey, we're not seeing the report that was sent to him. Like, yeah. He's responding to something that we're not sure about. Like, some of the stuff that he says might be perfectly, like, crystal clear if we had seen what they sent him.
Yeah. Like, a lot of these letters, it says, I have heard it reported that you XYZ, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's addressing that. But dude, seriously, like, I stopped reading Paul until I had a much better foundation in the Torah and the prophets. You know,
I think that's awesome advice.
Yeah. I mean, and then everything fell into place. I was like, oh, that's what he's talking about. Oh, he kept the feast days. Oh, he went and paid for a number six vow. You know, like it makes more sense. But
yeah, which, we went over that. And we went over this in a previous podcast.
Well, we're double tapping it. You know what I mean?
I was reminding myself that's how long it's been. We're covering.
All right, so back on topic, right? Like dealing with issues in the congregations, fellowships, what have you. Look, there's a lot of Torah communities that are living in close proximity to each other. A lot are having like these small actual physical communities, and there's a lot of problems that we hear that they're having, right? Yeah. Like, I have a very real question on whether or not we're actually responsible enough to have these sorts of communities today. You know, like,
I mean, I'll say, like, growing up, and I have witnessed a lot of these, like, not necessarily Torah communities, but communal living situations.
Yeah.
I would say there was, man, really only a handful of times it ever worked. And it was more like a cult. I witnessed a Hindu Krishna community thing working on, like, that seemed to work. But I mean, of course, like when you brainwash people, that seems to work. You got a bunch of Manchurian candidates there.
They're still missing the whole boat. Yeah.
Yeah. They're missing the whole boat. But as far as like, okay, so as far as like farming or homesteading type communities, I've seen a lot of those. I have not seen one successfully been done for long term before. I'll say that. And then most people like, but you know, also the failing point in most of these is the like lack of communication, like literally just never even doing step one. It, like, as soon as there's a grievance, go to that person, talk to them about it calmly. Like, you ain't got to cuss them out or anything. You ain't got to pimp slap them or nothing like that. But just like calmly address your grievance. Be like, hey man, I really don't like it when you did this. Or hey man, when you did this, I then had to, like, it screwed up my whole day because then I had to like rearrange everything and stuff like that. And then like starting with just that, instead what they do is something happens and then they let it fester, and then something else happens because they didn't address it the first time, and then they let that fester, and then it's a compounding effect. And then by the time they do bring it up, it's a whole blown up thing with a whole laundry list of grievances they have. Because they didn't just voice it from the get-go immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you get into these communities, like, I just caution anybody who's going to join a physical community, just really, if the Father leads you there and you're sure that that's what he wants for you, wonderful. You know, do what the Father says. But anybody who's in them or going into them, every action, every conversation you have, just always think, like, is what I'm saying in the eyes of the Father, is it acceptable? Is this following his ways? That's why we're told to meditate on his Torah day and night. You know, when we get up, when we walk by the way, when we're eating, like everything, when we're going to bed. And that's to keep us from, you know, transgressing, offending our neighbor. I mean, most of all, offending Yah. But
yeah.
You know, I just heard so many, and it goes for other places too. Like, our fellowship's all online, and we've still, you know, there's still issues that arise, and you still have to handle them in this way. I think just keep in mind, everybody's listening, like keep in mind that the goal of handling things according to Matthew 18 is to gain your brother or sister back. It's not to push them away or to berate them, you know?
No.
And if you're doing it with that heart posture, I feel like, you know, that's that kind of like still providing that loving and patient kind of demeanor towards them, even while you're saying, hey man, you ate my pint of ice cream and I was really excited about that.
yeah. Yeah.
You know,
which in that scenario, dude, I fully expect to be greeted at first with a pimp slap and then we talk. And I fully understand, man.
No, so I think it's a half spoken agreement. The only times we'll put hands on each other is to keep each other from transgressing.
Right.
Like yeah. that's fair game. Like it's bro, time to
half
like roll.
Spoken nothing. Half spoken yeah. nothing. We've had this conversation.
I know. Yeah. You're right. If we're gonna start if one of us is close to transgressing, it's like, all right, you're gonna get beat up now. You know, like you're going to get straightened out.
You're going to beat the sin out me.
You're like, this is because I love you. No, for real though.
Pull the whole dad moment. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Oh man. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that Yah has given us peace in the fellowship, and anybody who's not experiencing that in their fellowships, I pray that Yahweh gives you peace as well and resolution, you know?
Right. Yeah. And the courage to, you know, do what's right as well. Because, I mean, just from this last meeting that I had with the whole Matthew 18 meeting that happened earlier this week. Was it earlier this last week?
Dude, I can't even remember. Yeah.
Dude, yeah, days... it got me all, I'm now memorizing two different calendars. Yeah. Is it Shabbat or not? That's basically where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Is it a feast day or not?
Yeah.
But yeah, with that whole gathering, it was, praying for the courage to do what's right, even when it's difficult, or even if like the community that you built is now going to exile you for doing what is right. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that's when these communities start to look a whole lot like a cult, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When you're making your own rules and you're not managing every aspect of it by Yah's instructions.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, after talking about ice cream so much, and you know, I really want some, and I can't.
Sorry,
and I
buddy.
Want it. That's cool.
Sorry, buddy. You know, we can eat ice cream once we shed a few pounds.
I don't know if my weight's changed at all much. I just need to like just trim up, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not looking too much for that weight, just composition.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well said. Yeah. Just so everybody knows, like, you know, we look pretty good. Okay. We look pretty good. You know? We may not be ready to hit the beach. You know what I mean?
No.
But if we did, I don't think people would be like, ew, gross. You know?
I ain't seen abs in a minute.
I don't want to see them.
I can tell you exactly the last time I saw abs, and that was before leaving for that first North Carolina deployment. Because I was on I was in the middle of 75 hard, like I had a diet going. I was working out twice a day. It was like two a days. I was on day like 68, I think, and then left for North Carolina. Yep. That's
Man,
what that was.
I'm kind of thinking about doing that actually. Maybe this is a good time to start it.
75 hard?
Yeah.
Okay. My wife is currently doing it right now, and she is passed out right now too. She's asleep. But if you want to, if you don't mind waiting till after my wife gets done, I'll do it with you.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, but if time. Also, if you feel the urge to do it right now, do it right now.
No. I like the teamwork. It's fun.
Okay. It helps if you've never done it before. It helps to, like, okay, so you've had a drill sergeant before. You've had somebody that was pushing you before to, like, you had to do what they were saying to do. Now you're becoming, like, your own drill sergeant. And it helps to have somebody, like, suffer with you.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So the weird thing happens to most people in the military. It's like you begin to enjoy suffering. It's like just part of your daily life.
And 75 hard is kind of like that too.
Well, I'm just going to say, I feel like that started to like fall off now. So it'd be nice to get that discipline and everything back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like once you hit the end of 75 hard or like getting close to the end, you're like, you start panicking a little bit. You're like, man, what am I going to do without this program, without like working? What am I going to do? But there's actually in the program, there's actually like mandatory. You have to take at least 30 days off from 75 hard before doing it again.
Really?
Just so you can see how lazy you are without 75 hard. But it's also like a test. Like, hey, you just learned these new set of skills. Are you going to throw them away immediately? Or are you going to stick with the principles and the discipline that you learned, basically?
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll give everybody an update when we start it. That'll be fun.
We'll give like a weekly report on how everything's going and stuff like that. But and if you're unfamiliar with 75 hard, a quick rundown is that it's a to-do list that lasts for 75 days. So every single day you have to take a progress picture. Every single day you have to do a 45-minute indoor workout and a 45-minute outdoor workout. The indoor workout can be outdoors too, but at least one of them has to be outdoors, no matter the weather, no matter what is going on outside. You have to drink a gallon of water. You have to read at least 10 pages of a book, of a nonfiction book. And the reason, like, you're thinking, okay, 10 pages ain't hard. Yeah, you're right. But it's just forcing you to sit down and actually read that book. And then also you do the power list with it. And a power list is like 5 critical tasks you have to get done that's going to further you towards your goal. So like say your goal is to have the like Texas's biggest junk removal business. Well, those 5 critical tasks every day should be pushing you closer to that goal.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Your goal can be whatever though. And it could be with whatever you're struggling with making yourself doing too. Like, for example, very minor example, but if you're like struggling to brush your teeth every day, then you could write down brush my teeth on my power list until that becomes a habit and then you replace it with something else. What do you think?
Yeah, I wanna do it.
Okay. We're gonna start doing this podcast shirtless, keep ourselves accountable.
Oh, dude, I don't know about that. This ain't that kind of show.
You can judge us on our silhouettes.
You're going to be like, wow.
Boy, you built like a pear. Like a Ziploc bag full of pudding.
I don't think we're that bad.
That's how I feel, though. That's how I feel on the inside. Pudgy. Oh, man. Anyway, y'all. Hope this episode was helpful for y'all for conflict resolution. Hope it was also entertaining. Remember, if you want to sign up to give your testimony, I didn't say this at the beginning, but I should have. If you want to sign up to give a testimony, email us at exiledstrangers@proton.me. exiledstrangers@proton.me. And yeah, we'll have you on the podcast. You can give us your testimony. Yeah, hit us up, y'all. Hit us up about a testimony. Don't be shy. Don't be sure. I would be anonymous.
I would love to have another great testimony come through. Let's get it going.
Yeah. We don't even know have to know who you are. Nope. You can be anonymous the whole time.
Yep.
Yep. All right. We'll see you guys later.
See ya.